You are listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is the Asheville FM News Hour. I'm Andrew Vasco, joined in studio today with Shanika Smith.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
For those who don't know, Shanika is on the ballot for city council coming up November 7th. If you wanted to do a little introduction to yourself.
Yes, born and raised here in Asheville. Fourth generation native. My father was a local pastor here, and my mom, she worked in the Asheville City School System, Claxton Elementary, for as long as I can remember. And early in life, they instilled in me the value of servant leadership and also the importance of building a strong community. So those are the same principles that I lend to my two little girls. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they're very big personalities. So kind of thinking about legacy and the legacy that my parents left me, sending that legacy on to my children, but also making sure I blanket this community with that same type of leadership values, and also rebuilding community through working one by one, community by community.
So I'm just going to go right into some questions.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on maintaining a balance between Asheville's developing tourism industry and meeting the needs and interests of Asheville citizens to keep Asheville livable?
Well, I think the metrics that that we use to measure our success around tourism is a little imbalanced. I think what we need to lean towards is democratizing our shared collective heritage, because there are a lot of subcultures in Asheville that have a rich history and arts and culture and stories that aren't really mainstreamed. So I think through, number one, doing that, just rethinking what a successful tourism life would be in Asheville would be a great start. And then also looking into incentivizing the development of minority businesses and doing that in a way that really stands as not only an economic base for communities, but also a larger economic base for our city. Another thing with tourism I believe that we could do and that I'm very excited about is highlighting arts and culture. It's kind of how I got my start with Date My City, really using cultural engagement to revive the values of community and bring the historic value of being African-American in Western North Carolina alive.
What do you think can be done to improve the problem of affordability in Asheville?
Well, I think that Asheville, along with a lot of cities throughout the nation, are going through a lot of issues with affordability. But particularly in Asheville, I believe that our boom had a lot to do with the rise in property taxes. Then we have a lot of tourists who don't want to just come to Asheville to visit, but they want to live here. And then all of the improvements seem to affect our neighbors, its neighbors. So I think that one thing we should really focus on is really growing our housing trust fund. At the moment, we have about $500,000 annually that goes into the trust fund, and with the new bond, we'll have $2 million to place in that fund over the next 5 years. But I think that we should continue to grow our housing trust fund to really incentivize developers so that we can subsidize affordable housing units. Also, we need to really look across our state. I know my friend Kim Roney has done a lot of research around inclusionary zoning. It's done in Chapel Hill, and not only performed in Chapel Hill, but very successful, making sure that there are units and housing availability for low to middle income earners. And I think that would do Asheville justice. Also, around the 80s, not too many people remember the 80s, but I'm an 80s baby. And there used to be a development called cookie cutter housing, where they would replicate the same type of house in a block of land. I think that Asheville should look towards that. Not only is it more affordable to build, but the repetition of the production can actually be conducive for a local workforce. So not only do we fit the need of housing, but we also fit the need of giving our local workforce some jobs.
What is your plan for the future of regulating short-term rentals in Asheville?
Well, I think when we talk about regulating short-term rentals, we think that the enforcement that we have in place is sufficient. I don't think it is sufficient. I believe that a lot of outside developers have come into Asheville, and larger corporations have come into Asheville because they're really exploiting our hospitality. I believe Asheville is a very welcoming town because a tourist city has to be welcoming. But they have really taken more of a predatory approach to chomping on our housing stock. I think we need to act more aggressively on penalizing and fining people. I don't think it should come with notice. I think it should come with expedience. And each day that we find a person in violation, I think those numbers need to incur day by day. And also, I believe that we need to put more regulations in order. I know a lot of people are really looking into what does it mean to have tenant rights. And I definitely believe that private property owners should have some say as to what they do and what can or cannot do with their properties. Nevertheless, I think number one, we should really look to preserve the historic value and the harmony within communities. So I believe that just enforcement needs to be a lot more aggressive, not because we're not hospitable as a community, but because we're in deep crisis. And there's a lot of chronic homelessness in our communities, and our workforce is not being supported by adequate housing, which the quality of life of the people who undergird our tourist business are, you know, really at stake. So I think we need to look at some options on how to grow our housing stock, and that is number one. And then number two, enforcing violators who rent out whole units and whole homes. And then also, we need to figure out what it would mean for Asheville to look into helping people or in incentivizing the building of accessory dwelling units. It would kind of curb the cost of the homeowner, but then also provide housing for those who are right now in the crunch, couch surfing or living on the streets or, you know, bunking with friends. There are a lot of options that I've heard on the table, even on this campaign trail, because there's a lot of conversation around short-term rentals, and it's been a very challenging conversation to have because only 20% of African Americans are homeowners in the city, and my heart is for that community. Nevertheless, we have to solve the problems on a citywide basis. So I'm really looking into a scheme that may regulate short-term rentals throughout our entire city, not only in not only allowances in our commercial business districts.
What is your position on the removal of local Confederate monuments and plaques?
I believe that we're at a very important time in our history as 21st century leaders. Within this time, we have faced a lot of movements around racial equity, environmental justice, economic justice. We had Occupy was a very powerful movement, and freedom for our immigrant community. So we're at a time where we have to really figure out these Confederate monuments uphold. And a lot of people may think that to remove a Confederate monument does nothing for the social condition within our city. And I would beg to differ. I believe that we have to work within systems to dismantle oppression, and we also have to work on the community level to dismantle oppression as well. The monuments, in the words of Robert E. Lee himself, he said that the monuments keep open the wounds of the war. And I think we need to take the words of a Confederate and apply it to our 21st century paradigm. These monuments are there to embolden a lot of racist ideals, and they give people that lean on that those type of values, it gives them power in a place. I believe that one form of building trust within communities in this day and age, in the day and age of equity within our city, we chose equity. Our city council adopted equity as the number one priority during their 2016 retreat. I believe that if we're going to work towards equity, the basis of equity is to build trust. And I think a peace offering towards that trust building would be to think about removing the Vance Monument, among other placards throughout our city. And I wouldn't be in objection to replacing that monument in a place where that history can be remembered, just like in our history books. I think we need to really look into what the placing of those monuments really meant in society, what intimidation tactics it was to uphold, but what the removal of those monuments would mean towards racial reconciliation.
What do you think should be done with the Haywood Street property in downtown Asheville?
I think everybody loves a park. And I think the idea of a park makes a lot of people nervous because in Asheville, the question to every whimsical or great solutions would be, how do we pay for it? But I think in honor of the communities that are downtown, well, I mean, we forget that downtown is also a neighborhood. We think about it in its commercial sense, but it is a neighborhood. And there are elderly communities on both ends of that park. I'm going to go on and call it a park. I believe that there are ways that we can expand our collaboration with the TDA to pay for the park and also the neighbors around the park and different organizations that have prioritized this initiative to see if there can be an endowment put towards payment in perpetuity. I believe as a community, we have the public will to figure out how beautiful this park can be. And I know Kim mentions edible trees in that park and a lot of pedestrian walk in that park. I think that we can pull together to figure out how to pay for it without making it solely commercial or a large part of it being used for commercial use.
On the ballot, there will be a voter referendum asking Asheville residents if they support dividing the city into electoral districts. How do you think this will impact future elections?
Well, I think as a community, we really have to look at where the idea of districting is coming from, and it's coming from Raleigh. And what else is coming from Raleigh around this time concerning districting? And we have to look at the judicial redistricting legislature at the time and what impact it's really having on our electoral process as it pertains to our judges. And it's having a great impact on not only female judges, but also judges of color. So when we look at what other power schemes, who those schemes are impacting and how it's impacting, then we just have to make a very intellectual decision locally about how it may have the same effects and who it may impact. So what's happening in Raleigh around the judicial redistricting legislation is that it is really double bunking seats and causing incumbents to compete against one another during an election and really diluting the political power of a lot of marginalized and underrepresented identities who have really fought hard to reach tops and have a voice and overturn a lot of the long-time discriminatory actions within our judicial system. So the same applies here in Asheville. I believe that this election has been very historic. And from this election and an upturn in our voting all around has really produced a more diverse representation. And for the first time in Asheville's history, we may have more than one or maybe more than two people of color on council, which I think is precedent and can really bring forth some more progressive ideas and more progressive policies to make Asheville real truly diverse.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Shanika.
Thank you very much.
For our listeners, how can they find out more information about you?
Well, to find out more about Shanika for Asheville, you can simply go to shanikaforasheville.com. That is S-H-E-N-E-I-K-A, for, spelled out F-O-R, for Asheville.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, of course, you can go to the polls and make sure that you early vote. And if you can't make it for early voting, then make sure that you make it around to the polls on November 7th and vote for Shanika Smith and also Kim Roney. Thank you.